could never ask too much of me. I'm forever changed and finally free. Anywhere he sends me, I will go there willingly. He could never ask too much of me.
For so great a salvation,
for grace that covers me, for Bethlehem, Gethsemane, most of all for Calvary, he could never ask too much of me. I'm forever changed and finally free. Anywhere he sends me, I will go there willingly. He could never ask too much of me. He could never ask too much of me.
Amen. I'm going to have you open your Bibles to John chapter 19. I preach typically with my tablet, and I purposefully left it on the pew tonight because I have a sermon ready, and I've kind of been fighting the Lord on preaching this sermon right here, which I don't have on my tablet. But from the moment that choir opened up with that song, I knew I'd just been fighting the whole service. So I don't know what this is about to look like, but we're going to preach it. Amen. I jotted down three verses, which started in John chapter 19 and took me on a trek through the New Testament into Revelation just maybe a week ago. And I just want to read this verse, preach on it. Go to a verse in Revelation, preach on it. Another verse in Revelation, preach on it. John chapter 19, look at verse number 30. The Bible says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Heavenly Father, God, I need you so badly right now. Lord, I pray for the filling of your spirit. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in my own heart, continue the work in my own heart. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do something in this place as he's already been moving amongst us. Lord, I pray that you just give us reminders tonight. Lord, we stand in need of you. We don't need more of anything else. We just need more of you. And God, you said that you use the foolishness of preaching. And God, it's not me who stands here today to deliver a message. It is your Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And so I pray that I would accurately represent the Word of God, but that you would move among us, God. Do what you need. Lord, we give you the freedom to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't start. I don't have a good intro. But when I look at John chapter 19, verse number 30, and when I see really from verse number 28, it's the last red letters we have before Jesus dies. And these words that he said, "It is finished." And I just want to give you, I think, one word for each of these to take home with you tonight. One word from each of these verses. I think the word that I would put here in verse number 30, as the Lord Jesus Christ says, "It is finished," would be the word thankful. Verse number 17, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull," which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, "where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. You ever just stopped and thought about that? It ought to have been they crucified Brian McDonald. But they crucified him. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I've written, I've written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled. I'm so thankful for that phrase. You read in John, and often you'll see that phrase, especially in the account of the crucifixion, in the account of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You know, Jesus Christ thought the scripture important enough to fulfill it through crucifixion. Jesus Christ placed an emphasis on scripture. That scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Ever thought that ought to be my mother there? Ought to be your mother there. And his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, there's that phrase again, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. You know, he said, I thirst. He knew what was coming. He knew exactly what was about to happen in verse number 29. Yea, he knew what was about to happen in verse number 30. And yet for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You know that joy was you, my friend. You were on the mind of the Savior as he walked up Calvary's Hill. You were on the mind of the Savior as they nailed him to that cross. You were on the mind of the Savior in his very last moments. You were on the mind of the Savior when he said, it is finished. You know, I think many have tried to postulate what it is, and I think there's a lot of things that could go in there. I certainly could be the pain and the agony of Jesus Christ, it is finished, the weight and the burden that is upon him. But if you read, and we'll not go back, I don't even have the verses in front of me, but if you would read in John over and over and in the Gospels over and over and over, Jesus would say, I am come to do the work of my Father. I am come to finish the job that that God has set before me. And I believe when he says it is finished, it wasn't even so much as a statement for us as it was to look at God and say, God, I've done what you've told me to do. He's done what should have been done to me. It is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. If I can remind you of anything tonight, you ought to have a thankful spirit, huh? I'm going to have you turn over to Revelation chapter number 16. Revelation chapter 16. Verse number 17. I'm not an expert in prophecy. Amen? Okay, I don't claim to be. I'm just reading what the Bible says about what's going to happen. But I want you to look in verse 17 of chapter 16 in Revelation. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, very similar phrase, it is done. Now I want you to go back to the beginning of chapter 16, look at verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. When he says it is done, he's saying my wrath has been poured out. Verse 2, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Verse 4, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel, verse 8, poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. Verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great rivers Euphrates. And water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirit of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. I'm thankful for the phrase, it is finished, stated by my Savior as he concluded the crucifixion upon the cross. 3 days later, he would rise from the dead, giving me victory over death, the hell, the grave, and sin. But as I look at God on the throne saying, here, it is done, and the wrath of the devil, the Lord's statement of it is finished brings me thankfulness. The phrase, it is done, in verse number 17, it reminds me of this, that there is a judgment coming. And there's a judgment upon this earth that will be here in the great tribulation. And there's a final judgment that will be upon this earth in a place called hell. And folks, the church, if there's anything I can leave with you today that is on my heart, it is this. The word would be urgency. Urgency. What has happened in our care for souls? Praise God for the young man, the young woman that was saved this morning. Praise God for the two that were saved last week. And I'm glad that we can come on a Sunday and we can serve and we can see people saved, or we can go door knocking and see people saved. But hey, I'm not asking about First Baptist Church as a whole. I'm asking about you individually. Where's your urgency for souls tonight? There's coming a day. There's going to be judgment upon the earth. Now, I'm thankful. I'm going to be caught up. I'm going to be out of here. And we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to that, my friends. But I'm reminded tonight that there's a world of lost people out there that don't have that beautiful thought in their mind. And might it just be, they just need somebody to care and to go chat with them. That clerk at the store, the fast food restaurant, that neighbor right beside you that you live by for years, that family member. There's coming a day where the judgment will be poured out. God will look on this earth and say, it is done. And my friend, at that point, it will already be too late for us to do it. There is a night coming when no man can work, but right now it is day. Can I just encourage you tonight, commit to the urgency of souls and be about the Father's business. I want to give you one more verse tonight. Well, two, because whenever I'm in Revelation, I can't pass up reading this verse. Would you go to Revelation 20, verse number 10? Since my message is all askew anyway, I'm just going to throw in a verse that doesn't really have anything to do with the three main verses, all right? Because I like this verse. Verse number 10, chapter 20. I got it underlined, and I got amen with an exclamation. And the devil that deceived them was cast in a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever. Take heart, my friend. Let not your heart be troubled. Amen. That really doesn't have anything to do with the message, but that's good preaching. Amen. I like that verse. The last verse, though, is in the next chapter, chapter 21, verse number 6. I'm going to back up to verse 5 so we can see similar phrasing from what we just read. Verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, here it is, it is done. If our first word of it is finished is thankfulness, and our second word of the judgments being done is urgency, maybe we'll end on a pretty positive note here for the Christian anyway. And I want you just to think simply of the word destination. Go back to verse number 1 of chapter 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words, look at it, are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof in 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprase, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb were the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. We got a pretty neat destination waiting for us, don't we? I think about that song, It Will Be Worth It All. You know, I'm excited about the streets of gold and that new mansion that's being constructed on Hallelujah Street. Amen. I'm excited to see mine. I'm pretty confident it's right by my wife's. Amen. But church, above all else, I'm going to get to see my Savior. That one who hung there and said, it is finished. And see those nail prints. Don't you ever forget the cost of your salvation. Don't ever forget that there's a world that needs to hear the message of the gospel. Amen. And boy, don't ever forget where you're headed. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If you'd say this evening, I know 100% for sure I'm on my way to heaven, would you raise your hand? I know 100% for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Hands all around the room. Amen. Would you put your hands down? Could I ask a serious question? That's a serious question anyway, but I'm going to ask the opposite of that. Would there be anybody here this evening that would say, I'm not sure. I'm just not 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand this evening. Amen. The challenge, I suppose, is pretty simple. Maybe you just need to hit the altar tonight and thank God for your salvation. Maybe you need to recommit to being a soul winner. Not just going soul winning on organized, but being a soul winner. Or maybe we just need to get heaven back on our mind. And remember that we've got quite the destination to be with our Savior. Let the Lord do business in your heart this evening. Pastor Roberts.
Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.